Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read this scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. So before that, remember we read the scriptures, the Macedonian church, though they were poor, they were very into to give offerings to help the Jerusalem church. So Paul, before arrived there to collect all the offering, he wrote to them, he said, for your readiness to send an offering, and because of your enthusiasm, because of your gift of faith, inspire the Macedonian churches also to give. Thank you, Father. Let's pray over the tithes and offering. Father, we thank you. We bring our tithes to worship you, honor you. Knowledge all that we have is all the blessings that we receive from you. Thank you, Father. The offerings that we bring, the seed that we sow. We thank you, Lord, that you multiply that the seed that we sow. As we sow, we will reap and reap bountifully. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. God's covenant of long life throughout Scripture. Let me just say something here. In the Old Testament, you have Abraham's covenant. In the New Testament, you have the covenant of Jesus. Do you know the book of Hebrews says, because of the covenant of Jesus, the old covenant is obsolete? Listen to me very carefully, especially those in China. The book of Hebrews says the Old Testament, old covenant is obsolete. That means the Jews today cannot rely on Abraham's covenant's blessing and protection because it's obsolete. In the first place, Abraham's covenant culminates to the covenant of Jesus. So when Jesus came, how can the Abraham's covenant be still valid? It cannot be valid. That's why the book of Hebrews says the old covenant is obsolete. So in fact, the Jews today cannot rely on Abraham's covenant to protect them against Iran and Russia. Now, let me show you something. You remember they all like to preach about the Gog and the Magog that were going to attack Israel? And they say Gog or Magog is Russia. What are they going to attack? You know what? If Iran and Russia attack Israel, wipe it out. It will wipe out in the Old Testament. Old Testament, Israel was wiped out. In the Old Testament, Israel was in captive by the Babylonians. Babylonians are the Iraqis. So today, they cannot rely on Abraham's covenant to protect them because it's obsolete and they reject the covenant of Jesus. So if that happens now, it looks like what's the war that's going on? If it happens, they hit Israel, wiping out, there'll be no nation of Israel. Then the book of Revelation, 144,000, where is it going to come from? During the rapture, 144,000 of Jews going to preach the gospel. Where do you come from? All over the world. Because the Jews are scattered all over the world. When Jesus comes, it's not going to be in Jerusalem, in Israel, in Jerusalem. Because everyone can see when he comes. The whole world can see he's coming. Amen. So after the church is raptured, there are 144,000 Jews going to preach the gospel during the tribulation. And those 144,000 is going to come from everywhere in the world. It's not going to come from Israel. So that's a possibility. Amen. You see that? So the Old Covenant is obsolete. The book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8, talking about the Old Testament is obsolete. Because when Jesus came, they cannot still hang on to the Abraham's covenant. It's obsolete. Amen. So the covenant, God's covenant of long life throughout Scripture. So one of the beautiful ways to study the Bible is to trace a single theme, for example, from Genesis to Revelation. One of the themes is life. You can trace a theme from Genesis to Revelation. You can also trace the blood covenant from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. That's the theme. That's the thread. Sometimes they call it the scarlet thread. The blood of Jesus, the blood covenant, is a thread that you can find from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. And life, also same thing. Like golden thread woven through a magnificent tapestry, certain truths appears repeatedly until we recognize they are part of God's eternal purpose. So we find it from Genesis to Revelation. So one such theme just now I said is life, not merely existence, but abundance. When God talks about life, it's not just eternal life, but it's talking about abundant, not only in heaven, but here. It talks about fruitful life and satisfying life, especially in fellowship with God. So the Bible begins with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden in Genesis and ends with the tree of life in the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. So between these two bookends runs God's unfolding plan to restore to humanity the life that was marred, destroyed, the life that was destroyed by sin and ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when we speak of long life, we must not think merely in terms of longevity. In Scripture, long life is always connected with covenant relationship, divine purpose. It has a divine purpose and faithful stewardship. Whatever God entrusted to us, we are to be faithful stewards of what He entrusted us. Amen? Your job, your wealth, your talent. And God does not promise endless years simply so that people may grow older. He desires that His people live long enough to know Him deeply, serve Him faithfully, bless successful, succeeding generation. Pass it on. Let me say something to you. God's purpose of long life is not just longevity, but it's also abundant, an abundance of blessings. When you want God want to bless you, when God gives you a job, new job, you're going to face challenges. Amen. And sometimes people, you face challenges, you come to a point that you just accept, and then you're going nowhere, you just accept your current status and you just cruise in life. But actually, there's more to it. But some people are not able to receive what God has for them. Much more. Let me tell you something else. Somebody is marked for promotion, has been put up for promotion. After that, in prayer, we picked it up. Before the opposition hindrances come, it has been put up for promotion. But in the prayer, it's been picked up. Picked up before the person faced the obstruction, the hindrance, the opposition. Amen. But I notice, you know, there are people, you know, after they finish university, things have come to a point, they don't want to pray anymore, they don't want the tie. And I watch their lives. I get quiet because I find they are plateauing, not spiritually, they're plateauing also in their career. Their career, they're plateauing, they're going nowhere. I look at their past, the previous ties, long time ago, I say, cannot be, right? There's much more than what they're earning now. But sometimes, you know, what happens is they just chill and they just cruise because it's more than enough. But there's much more. So when God bless you, God not only gives us longevity, but He always wants to bless us with abundance. And when He wants to bless us and move us forward, and you find challenges, there are at least 2 persons in this place start telling me the challenges really. One of them said, you know, oh, the past couple of months, things just don't seem to go right. Another person I told you earlier on has been put up for promotion and said, oh, but suddenly, I'm trying to tell you that it's been picked up in a prayer before the hindrances, before the obstruction came. It's picked up. The prayer group prayed out. Pastor Gyeong will interpret the tongues. It's not because she prayed out. Actually, the group prayed out. The group prayed out and then you interpret the tongues. Quite a number of things that she interpreted long before it happens. She just gets it, and at that moment, she just said, this, and at that moment, it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any sense, because nothing happened yet. But not long after, boom, things begin to happen. So what I'm trying to say is, stay in the prayer. Don't stagnate. You stagnate spiritually, you stagnate in your career. Don't take God's blessing for granted, because the devil is always at the door to try to rip it off from your hands. Take it off. And God has plans way ahead. But right now, the devil is trying to block it, really. And this person, they've been put up for promotion. There's something else way in the front. God has a plan way in front. But right now, the devil is coming against. So, there are people who just take life, you know, because they graduate from university, got a good job. Actually, when I look at some of the earnings, I say, hey, is getting behind time, based on their qualification and then what they're earning now. I say, hey, man, the market is moving ahead. I think, you know, with the kind of experience you have in all that, you should be moving, but they're not moving. And I watch because they don't pray anymore. They don't want to participate in the prayer ministry in this church. Thank you, Jesus. So I told you before, I always read all the prayer reports, and I read and I ask the prayer leaders, so what do you understand by what you pick up? So when we speak of long life, we must not think merely in terms of longevity. In Scripture, long life is always connected with covenant relationship, divine purpose, faithful stewardship. Whatever God has blessed you, you have to be faithful. You have to be faithful in holding fast to what God has blessed you with. How? One way is through prayer. Amen. One way is not to neglect your participation in the prayer ministry of this church. Amen. He desires people to live long enough to know Him deeply, serve Him faithfully, bless succeeding generation, that means your children, and complete the work He has entrusted to you. What He has entrusted to you, whatever work this church is doing, you have a part to it. Amen. Here we explore how the promise of long life unfolds throughout the Bible and what it reveals about the heart of the Heavenly Father. Life was God's original design. Before we can understand God's promise of long life, we must first understand the original intention for humanity. When God created Adam and Eve, death was absent from creation. There was no sickness, no decay, no disease, no aging, or fear, no fear. Humanity lived in perfect fellowship with God, and in the midst of the garden stood the tree of life. So in Genesis 2 verse 9, out of the ground, God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. Tree of life, they can eat from the tree of life. Amen? Except the other tree. But when sin entered, the placement of the tree of life was not by accident. It symbolized God's intention that humanity continually receive life from Him. Adam and Eve were not independent who possessed life in themselves. They lived because they were in fellowship with the Creator and the Author of life. The tragedy of Genesis chapter 3 is therefore not merely that humanity broke a commandment, but sin severed the relationship through which divine life flowed. Amen. But sin severed that life from flowing through humanity. That's why sickness came in and death came in. So sin severed the relationship through which divine life flowed. As a consequence, death entered human experience. And Paul explained this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just through one man's sin, that's Adam, one man, sin entered the world, the power of sin. This word sin here is not a verb, it's a noun. It refers to who's the power of sin? Satan came into the world. He was not in this world because God did not create the earth and the Garden of Eden for Satan to walk in the Garden of Eden. A lot of people say, oh, you know, the snake talked to Eve, so Satan was in the Garden of Eden. In the first place, Satan was not a snake. He was the highest angel fallen. He's the highest angel of all angels. He's above all the angels, countless of angels, but he fell. And he's not going to be a snake. Moses just used a snake to express the kind of devil he is. So death was never God's invention for mankind. It is the consequence of sin's entrance into creation. This understanding is vital because it shapes how we view God's promises concerning life. Amen. Sin, sickness, and death is not God's origin. So it is always God's will to heal all the time, every time. Whether people receive their healing or not is a different issue. All the kind of teaching that sometimes God's will to heal, sometimes it's not. That's from the pit of hell, the devil. Amen? Because sickness, disease that leads to death was never originated from God. It was not God's intention, was never His creation. How did it come about? Because the devil cursed the earth after Adam and Eve sinned. If Adam and Eve did not sin, there's no doctors today. There's no medical science. So this understanding is vital because it shapes how we view God's promises concerning life. Every promise of life in Scripture reflects God's desire to restore what sin has stolen. So health has been stolen, He restore. Wealth has been stolen, He restore. Amen. War is not of God. Every war is not of God. God's covenant with the patriarch throughout the Old Testament, God repeatedly blessed His covenant people with long and fruitful lives. Not just long life, fruitful. These were not isolated events, but expression of his covenant faithfulness. When God established his covenant with Abraham, he gave him a remarkable promise. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at lousy old age. No, good old age. Genesis 15, verse 15. So Abraham will finish his journey in peace. He will not die prematurely. He will reach a good old age. And remember, the blessings of Abraham is upon us. In Galatians, as promised by the Holy Spirit, we inherit the promises. Through Jesus Christ, Jesus' blood covenant, we do not inherit Abraham's promises because of Abraham's covenant. Because of Jesus' covenant we have with God, the Father. Amen. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us, Galatians chapter 3. Not because of Abraham's covenant, because of Jesus' covenant, a far better covenant. Why is it a far better covenant? That means we have everything that God promised Abraham and much more in Jesus' covenant. That's why it's a better covenant. That's why the Abraham's covenant is obsolete. So several truths emerges. Abraham will finish his journey in peace. He will not die prematurely and in a good old age. Abraham breathed his last and died as a good old age, an old man and full years, Genesis 25, verse 8. Full of years. The phrase full of years conveys more than numerical age. It describes a life completed. He completed God's plan in his life. Amen. He didn't fulfill God's plan and was poor. No, he was so rich. And he did not die poor. He passed down his riches to his son. And a race finished, that means he finished the race. And a purpose fulfilled, he fulfilled his purpose. God did not merely extend Abraham's years, he fulfilled his purposes. So let's look at Isaac and Jacob. Isaac inherited not only Abraham's covenant, but also God's preserving hand. Though Isaac experienced famine, Abraham did also. Family conflicts, opposition from the Philistines, God's blessings remain upon him. He prospered, multiplied, and lived to see the covenant continue through Jacob. His life reminds us that covenant blessing does not eliminate trials. Rather, it preserves God's people through them, through trials. Amen. That's the covenant. Remember that we are living in a better covenant than the old covenant. In the old covenant, in Abraham's covenant, what God did for Isaac, how much more he would do for us. Now, Jacob's journey was marked by failures, discipline, restoration, and eventual maturity. Standing before Pharaoh, Jacob said, in Genesis 47, verse 9, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. One of the students said, Pastor, you live for me 120 years. I said, okay. I said, I'll live for you 120 years, but I don't know if my body can. I said, whether my body can or that's a different issue. I said, okay, I'll live 120 years for you. How many of you want me to live 120 years for you and your next generation? Okay. Provided my body can go that long. So although he described many of those years as difficult, God nevertheless preserved him until the covenant promises concerning his family had been established. God's preservation often continues even when our journey includes painful seasons. Life sustained by God's presence. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, his eyes were not dimmed, nor his natural vigor diminished. It's referring to Moses. So Moses' life sustained by God's presence. The Old Testament leader Moses illustrated supernatural preservation more vividly than anybody else. When he died at 120 years old, Scripture records his eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. So the statement is extraordinary. Normally, aging brings gradual decline in eyesight, physical strength, and endurance. Yet Moses retained remarkable vitality until the completion of his assignment. Why? Because God sustained him. Amen. Please don't sustain me until 120, Lord. I finish, I want to go home. Why hang around for what? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. So for 40 years, he lived in Pharaoh's palace. For 40 years, he wandered the wilderness as a shepherd. Talk about Moses. For 40 years, he led the entire nation through impossible circumstances, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So humanly speaking, such responsibilities should have exhausted him. Instead, fellowship with God renewed him continually. And Isaiah later expressed this same principle. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The greatest source of spiritual vitality is not youth, but communion with God. It's not your youth. Your youth are telling you wear off soon without your communion with God. Amen. He's a sustainer of life. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Life in your body. He's the one who sustains it. Caleb, let's look at Caleb. Caleb provided one of Scripture's greatest testimonies regarding faithful aging. At 85 years old, he declared, Joshua 14, I'm still strong this day on the day that Moses sent me. That's 40 years before that, before he spoke this. Moses sent him into the promised land, but the whole bunch of Israel didn't want to go in, so he also got stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years later, when Joshua was to lead him across the promised land, he said, I'm still as strong this day on the day that Moses sent me. Then he asked God, he said, give me the mountain. Amen. Notice what Caleb did not say. He did not deny his age, neither did he complain about it. Instead, he testified to God's sustaining grace. Amen. Stop complaining about you, my body, this, and that. Please go and get it fixed if you need to get it fixed. Go and see the doctor and get it fixed. Don't ignore the pain. Go and get it fixed, but stop complaining about your age. Thank you, Jesus. Enjoy your age. I mean, what's the point of, you know, when you're young, you make all the money, but your old age cannot enjoy it. His request is astonishing. Rather than asking for a peaceful retirement, Caleb asked for the mountain occupied by giants. While many people seek comfort in old age, Caleb sought conquest. He had not lost his vision. He had not surrendered his faith. He had not abandoned God's promises. His physical strength reflected an even greater spiritual strength. He wants to take the promised land. The book of Proverbs contains the richest collection of promises concerning long life. Again and again, Solomon was the one who wrote. Solomon connects life with wisdom. In Proverbs 3 verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. Talk about wisdom before that. Hear my son, Proverbs 4:10. Hear my son, receive my saying, and years of your life will be many. This cannot be Solomon saying. God is speaking. You see, receive my saying, my words. And Proverbs 10 verse 27, reverend the Lord prolongs life, prolongs days. Not the fear, the kind of fear. Here, fear means reverence. Reverence him. A person walks in honesty, self-control, humility, forgiveness, diligence, and reverence often avoid many of the consequences that accompany sinful living. So wisdom is therefore preventive. It keeps us from unnecessary sorrow. So these verses teach us an important principle. Long life is not merely as a miracle. It is frequently the fruit of wise living. These three scriptures, especially the first two, before they all talks about the wisdom of God. It's frequently the fruit of wise living. God's wisdom protects us from countless destructive paths. And God's wisdom comes from where? His word. And his words come from the pulpit. And the word comes from your own devotion. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. David's confidence in God's preservation. David faced extraordinary dangers across the full span of his life. Lions and bears, Goliath, King Saul tried to kill him, foreign armies trying to attack him, family betrayal, his son betrayed him, and political rebellions. Yet through every season, he experienced God's preserving hand. He could therefore write with full conviction. In Psalm 118 verse 17, I shall not die but live and declare. Why do you want to live? Why do you want to live? Why do you want to live? God, I live so that whatever purpose you have to be fulfilled through this church, I'm here to support this church. Amen. I live to declare the works of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We teach the Chinese. Amen. That's the work of the Lord. Amen. That we are doing. Praise God. And when I was in Bible school, the Lord told me, go back and start a praying church. I was thinking, every church should be praying. Why haven't we started a praying church? I think a lot of churches are not praying. That's why he said, your church better be praying. Amen. Notice David's perspective. He did not merely desire survival. I shall not die, but live. It's not because he desired survival. He desired preservation for a purpose. He wants to live for a purpose. I shall not die but live. Then he said, what's his purpose? To declare the works of God, of the Lord. Amen. So I'm most alive when I stand here and preach, because that's my calling. At home, you haven't seen my face yet. Adrian only tried to perceive in the spirit what pastor sound like today. Amen. So when I'm at home, I'm not declaring the word of God or proclaiming or preaching the word of God. So I feel different. So when I begin to teach and preach, it's different. Praise God. Amen. So maybe I should travel more and teach and preach, I think. So he desired preservation for a purpose. He wanted to continue declaring God's work. So the purpose of long life is always connected with testimony. God extends life so that his glory may continue to be proclaimed. When we tell you about prayer testimony, we are proclaiming the glory of God, the goodness of God. Amen. I told the prayer group, very frequent, I could say very frequent, but I didn't count. Many times, Pastor Gwen picked things up before it happened. She interpreted the tongues. Interpretation is never mine. Most of the time, I'm not the one. Even with Pastor Eric, he interprets. I would turn to him, I'll speak in tongues to him, I say, interpret now. I'll tell him to interpret. So in prayer also, same thing. She'll be the one who, and very amazing, she picked up very unusual things. And sometimes I hear, huh? But not too long. I ask her, can you repeat what you say? Just 1 month ago, exactly word for word, because she'll journal it, and she'll repeat word for word. So you know why it's very important? I want to hear exactly what she picked up, so that I know what to do. And I told somebody, what was picked up is not to pray now. It's time to use your authority and hold fast. Prayer doesn't work. It's no longer about prayer, praying in the spirit, and no, it's about holding fast, using authority. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I told you, almost every Sunday I have fresh testimonies. Amen. I just told you, if this person put up a promotion, then sometimes I tell you what happens. Wow, you've been doing so well, we put up a promotion, they'll whack you, and you didn't get promoted, and you stagnate there, and you take it, oh man, life is like that, so you cruise, huh? You cruise, and you stagnate spiritually, don't want to be in the prayer group, don't want to be in the prayer, any prayer anymore, just cruise. Because you know why? Because you don't be in the prayer, your promotion got stagnated, or God wants to move you to another company, but it's been blocked. And you just cruise, you continue to cruise in the company and you tell, oh, life is like that. Chill, man. But actually, it's the devil who actually blocked you. And Psalm 91, God promise of satisfying life. The Psalm described God's shelter. Promise of Psalm 91, God's shelter and shadow, refuge and faithfulness. In Psalm 91, promises is angelic protection and deliverance from danger. Answered prayer, honor, and satisfaction. What's the point of living a long life with a lot of money, but you're not satisfied, you're miserable? So the culminating promise, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. There are three phases of salvation. The first salvation is when you accept Jesus and be born again. Next salvation is your journey on earth. Salvation also means deliverance. Sometimes God delivers you from the devil's obstruction, hindrance, blockage, or whatever deliverance you need. Then the final salvation is when we're going to be in heaven to be with Jesus. So protection leads to preservation. Preservation leads to purpose. Purpose culminating in satisfaction. And the believer's confidence rests not in human strength, but in God's covenant faithfulness. That's why he will satisfy you. Praise God. I'd rather be satisfied than I have everything and all the status in life and miserable. Thank you, Father. Amen. And Isaiah said this, 65 verse 20, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days. Infant just live a few days. No. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled the days. Amen. It's not God. So infant should live long. But when you live to old age, you should be fulfilled. You have fulfilled your purpose, God's purpose, your purpose, pass down your wealth to the next generation, and that's your purpose. So the prophets also envisioned an age when God's blessing upon life will be wonderfully displayed, as Isaiah wrote. So this prophetic picture points towards the fullness of God's restorative purposes. Throughout redemptive history, God moves forward the restoration of life rather than its diminishment. His kingdom is characterized by life, peace, righteousness, and joy. And Jesus is the one who fulfilled God's covenant. Everything promised in the Old Testament ultimately finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. John begins his gospel by declaring in him was life, and the life was the light of man. How to be in him to be born again. That's why I said the old covenant is obsolete. Abraham's covenant cannot get them into Christ Jesus. They cannot be in him under the Abraham's covenant. Amen. It has to be under the blood covenant of Jesus. Life is not merely something Jesus possesses. Life is he who is, who he is. That's why Christ is in us. He is our eternal life. He is our life. He's giving life up to our mortal body. How does he give life to our mortal body? By the Holy Spirit indwelling us. I told you before, every morning when I take bread and black coffee, I take the black coffee as the blood of Jesus. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit who gives life to my mortal body. Amen. And I pray, I thank God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge from him, to him, for him, through him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is for what? For life. For living life on this earth. That we know what's the richest, glorious inheritance that he has for you and me. Me too. And wisdom has to do a lot with life on earth, spiritual lives, physical life, natural life, issues of life, has to do a lot with the wisdom of God. Physical life, the Holy Spirit gives you life. Amen. So, life is not merely Jesus possessed. Life is who he is. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus demonstrated his authority over every enemy of life. He healed the sick. Jesus restored the blind eyes, cleansed lepers, strengthened crippled limbs, and cast out demons. Every miracle proclaiming the kingdom of God brings life. He raised the dead when Jesus declared, I'm the resurrection and life. He revealed himself as the fulfillment of every Old Testament promises concerning life. That's why I said the Abraham's covenant cannot fulfill this. Jesus fulfilled it. Old covenant promised life. Jesus fulfilled and gives us life. That's why the old covenant, Abraham's covenant, is obsolete. Thank you, Jesus. So every miracle proclaimed the same message. The kingdom of God brings life. When Jesus declared, I'm the resurrection and the life, he revealed himself as fulfillment of every Old Testament promise concerning life. His resurrection defeated the power of death forever because he lives. He defeated definitely spiritual death. We will not go to hell. Amen. Whether you live long or live short, you cannot be defeated by spiritual death because you go to heaven. Because he lives, believers possess eternal life now. We have life in our spirit that is restored back to God. Sin has severed that life. Now we have the life that connects us back to God. That's why Jesus said, in those days, you shall not ask me anything whatsoever. You ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. And you shall receive your joy with full. So believers possess eternal life now, live a long life with purpose, and await the resurrection of the bodies when he returns. If you can live until he returns, then you have a new body. If not, then you will go to be with Jesus. When he returns, you will still have a new body. Amen. So long life under the new covenant. Some believers mistakenly assume that the promises of long life belong only to Israel under the old covenant. The New Testament says otherwise. Paul writes, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. He quoted the Old Testament. A lot of them teach, oh, we do away with the law. Paul quoted the Old Testament. This in Ephesians 6, verse 2 to 3. He quoted the Old Testament command and applied its promises directly to the New Testament believers. So it's an important principle. So God's moral wisdom has not changed. The gospel does not abolish righteous living. Rather, than the Holy Spirit empower believers to live according to God's ways. So we do not obey to earn God's acceptance. We obey because we have already been accepted in Christ. So grace is not opposed to obedience. Grace enables obedience. By the grace of God, we obey him, not our own strength. By his grace. And with grace always comes with power. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, we obey him. Amen. So, if we study God's covenant of long life, there are two extremes to avoid. The first extreme assumes that every believer who dies young lacks faith or obedience. No, not true. Not all. Some. There are some who died young because of lack of faith or lack of because of disobedience. Because scripture doesn't say that everybody died young, all because of lack of faith or disobedience. So righteous people have suffered persecution, illness, accidents, and martyrdom. The timing of every individual's death is not explained by a single principle, and we should be careful not to judge situations that belong to God's wisdom. The second extreme assumes that our choices have no influence on the quality of life or length of our lives. That's why sometimes it's irreversible. They made a choice and it's irreversible. Sometimes many years, when they were young, they kept saying that I will not live past 40, and it's irreversible. Unless they reverse it himself, God cannot reverse it. So our choices, the second extreme is our choices have no influence on the equality or length of our lives. It does. So scripture repeatedly teaches that wisdom, reverence for God, self-control and obedience generally promote life and well-being. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is sovereign over our lives. Our choices genuinely matter. God promises invite faithful trust, not presumption. Our ultimate hope rests in Christ, whether we live many years or not. We live because we have hope in Christ. We always have hope in Christ. When it seems hopeless, we still have hope in Christ. That's how we should live. Amen. That means from young to until we are old, we must always, always have hope in Christ. And the scripture also teaches us to number our days. So in Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Remember I said wisdom has to do with long life. So to number our days is not to live in fear of death. It is to live with gratitude, purpose, and faithfulness. Not your purpose. Not just your purpose. You have to have purpose while you live. But you also must keep in mind God's purpose, why you live. What's your purpose? Your purpose is to be in this church, that's for sure. Two, your purpose is to support this church. Three, your purpose is to serve in this church. Praise God. Moses prayed this prayer after decades of leading God's people and remains one of the most penetrating requests any believer can bring before the Lord. The covenant of long life is not a passive promise. It calls for an active response. Walking in God's wisdom, honoring His ways, and stewarding every year He graciously grants. Amen. Praise God. Teach us to number His days. And living with eternity in view. The highest blessing, long life is a precious blessing, but it's not the highest blessing. The highest blessing is knowing Christ. A person who lives 100 years without Christ has ultimately lost everything. A believer who remains faithful to Christ through a shorter life has gained eternal glory. And the promise of long life must never eclipse the greater promise of eternal life. Two promises, one story. Rather, the two belong together. Because we possess eternal life through Christ, we desire to steward every earthly year He graciously grants, whether our years are many or few. So from the tree of life in the Eden to the tree of life in the New Jerusalem, God's purpose has never wavered. He desires people to live fully, faithfully, and fruitfully. Fruitfully. Amen. So God's promises of life are rooted in His unchanging character and fulfilled in Christ. So we walk in His wisdom, with reverence, obedience, and self-control, a pathway along which God's life-giving blessings flow. Life-giving blessings flow. So with long life, He will satisfy you. Amen. Not only just live long, live fruitfully, amen, so that you be fruitful. Thank you, Father. Amen. I've told you some people in this church, their lives have been saved. I tell you another story. He was telling us before he came to this church that year, he always think that he won't live long. He always keeps saying he won't live long. Thank God he came to this church. Now he's not even fear of flying. He's going to fly again. He said last time, he always think, oh man, I'm not going to live long. And sometimes you wonder why God brought you in this church. He brought you into this church, one, to save your life, two, is fulfill His purpose, help fulfill His purpose in this church. Amen. He keeps saying, oh, I don't think I'm going to live long. For 1 year, you know. But that doesn't mean you know, you say something negative, you're going to happen, you get what I'm saying? Sometimes you just say it because you don't really believe it. Once you said it out of your soul, he become irreversible, finish. So before that, before I reached that stage, God saved him, brought him to the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then, you know, everyone of us says negative things, but you can always cancel it with what is in line with the Word of God. The Word of God, whatever is in line with the Word of God, you will cancel it off. So don't get in fear because you all say something, you know, bad. If not careful, sometimes you get into all kinds of fear. Doesn't matter whatever it is. As long as it's fear, that's it. You better get rid of it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good. Devil is bad. So live long. Live for His glory. The last part. Amen.